You're listening to the Grace Church Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you biblical guidance to life's most important issues. We want to thank you for joining us for this week's message. We pray you find strength and encouragement as we learn from God's truth together. For more information, go to visitgracechurch.com.
Well, hello, Grace Church, and almost Happy New Year. And as we go into this new year, I want us to think of something. I want to ask you a question. This time last year, did you make a New Year's resolution? Maybe some of you made a resolution to eat cleaner, or maybe some of you to work out more, to read your Bible more, or to go on more dates with your spouse. What was that resolution that you made? I know that Russell, our student pastor, myself, we made a resolution for the month of January last year that we were going to lose 10 pounds and be more ready for the CrossFit Open than we ever have been before. We got on the scale after the month of January, and I think we both gained 10 pounds. And so I don't know about you, but sometimes that's how our goals and our resolutions go. But as we go into 2018, what are those giants that you have in your life? What are those things that you deal with on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis? It could be that you want a new career over the coming weeks or coming year. Maybe God has called you to be a teacher. Maybe God has called you into the mission field. Or maybe God has called you to plant one of the 100 churches that we feel we want to plant over the next 20 years. Or maybe the giant in your life could be some sin that you're struggling with. Or maybe a giant is a relationship that you deal with. Maybe there's tension in your marriage. Maybe there's tension with your kids and you're struggling in those relationships. Maybe a giant is your need to control. I don't know about you, but I love control. I love to see how things are going to take place and make sure everything is in order. I love control. But that is a giant that I deal with. Maybe it's fear. Maybe anxiety is something that you deal with on a daily basis. What are those giants in your life? Maybe comfort. That you know that God has called you into a new season, but you're so comfortable with your surroundings that you just are not moving. Maybe that is a giant that you need to deal with. Or maybe it's addiction. Maybe addiction to drugs, or maybe addiction to alcohol, or addiction to people needing you. Maybe you have an addiction to pornography. What are the giants in your life? Because we're going to look at the story of David and Goliath, and we see that the Philistines are on one mountain, the Israelites on the other. There's this valley that separates them, and the giant named Goliath is taunting the Israelites. And maybe right now, a giant is taunting you in your life. And you constantly hear, you are not good enough, you are not strong enough, you are not rich enough. There is no way you can accomplish this. There's no way you can tackle this giant. What are those giants in your life? And see, the thing is, we can try our hardest to accomplish these goals and tackle these giants in our lives. We can try and work harder, work faster, work smarter. But at the end of the day, you are not able to attack these giants. It's only Christ working through you that's going to give us the ability to tackle these giants. Let's pray. God, I just pray for our church, those worshiping with us online, those at the Olathe campus, those worshiping with us in the venue, in the cafe, wherever they are. God, I pray you'll do something new in our lives. The story of David and Goliath that maybe many of us have heard multiple times. Lord, maybe we can see something new, look at it in a fresh way. And Lord, as we leave here, we'll be drawn closer to you and be shaped more in your image. In your name we pray. Amen. We're so glad that you're here. I'm going to ask our ushers, if they don't mind, and all our worship environments to walk up and down the aisles. If you need a Bible, it would be our gift to you. Just raise your hand or message handout or a pen or something to write on. We'd love to bless you in that way. So just raise your hand. They'll hook you up. If you've never downloaded our Grace Church app, just go to the App Store, hit Visit Grace, and you'll see our church app there. You can download that and follow our notes there as well. I want to welcome those that are worshiping with us online. We want to say hi to you, those at the Olathe campus. We are so excited what God is doing there, and those in the venue as well. So I said, we're in the story of David and Goliath. And this is a story that many of us have heard. Or if you haven't heard the specific story of David and Goliath, you've probably seen a movie or read some business book that deals with the underdog attacking their giants. And the question is, what do we do? How do we overcome these giants in our lives? And so we have the Philistines fighting the Israelites, God's chosen nation. And right now, as we read, as our host, Pastor Brian, read, that the Israelites were scared. And our first point is this. As we attack our giants is a paralyzing fear. It says in 1 Samuel 17, if you have your Bibles, I'd love you to go there. If you have your phones, you can flip it open. I guess you don't flip it open. There's no flip phones anymore. But just look at your screen and it will open. And we have our story there at 1 Samuel 17. And I want to reread verse 11. It says, when Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Some of your translations might read, they were dismayed and they were struck with fear. See, when we have giants in our lives, there are times we are just afraid and we have a paralyzing fear that overcomes us. You know, the word paralyzed means to be stuck. If you're paralyzed, maybe from the waist down, that means your legs cannot move. You cannot move from where you are. You're stuck. Or if you have a stroke, you know, you can have the right or left side of your body paralyzed. It means it is not moving. It is stuck. You are paralyzed. And the reality is, I would guess that a lot of us at times, when we're dealing with the giants in our lives, we are paralyzed with fear. See, the Israelites were paralyzed with fear here. And if we are going to reconcile our giants, as we look at our last week here of our series called Reconcile, if we're going to reconcile our giants, we need to realize and admit and see that fear is something that we truly deal with. There are different kinds of fears, and the first fear I want to touch on is this, the fear of failure. I don't know about you, but I have encountered failure in my life, and I do not like the way that feels. The Israelites were scared. If they failed, they were going to become slaves to the Philistines. And so because of this fear of failing, they were paralyzed. They were stuck. They were not able to move forward in the battle. The question is, are you afraid to fail? Maybe you deal with an addiction. Maybe that is the giant in your life, and you hate the way it feels after you know what, I'm going to do this year, I'm going to overcome this, and then you fail again, and because of that failing, or that fear to fail, you just give up, you don't try. The fear of failure hurts deep within our souls. And that's what is going on here. Not only that, there's a fear of rejection. Maybe you've been in a relationship before, and someone looks at you and say, you know what, I don't love you anymore. That hurts. I was talking with someone this week that applied for a job, and they made it to the next round, and they were so excited to be the chief financial officer of this company. And it would have been an incredible career move. And at the end, the last ring or so, I guess, round of interviews, they said, sorry, we do not want you for the job. They were rejected, and it affected them to the core. Rejection hurts. And see, then when rejection happens, it leads to comparison. And we begin to compare our circumstances with other people. So here the Israelites are looking at the Philistines and saying, they are huge, they are strong, they are powerful, they are better than us. We cannot attack them, we cannot win. There is no way we can accomplish tackling these giants. And they were comparing themselves. But the reality is, in Western culture today, we compare ourselves all the time. Social media, yeah, it's a great thing to keep up with people, but how often do we get on there and look, well, this person, man, their marriage must be really good, or look at this vacation, or look at their house. We compare ourselves to others. Or we're in the workplace and someone got the promotion, we compare ourselves to them. Or maybe this relationship, marriage, seems better. We compare our marriage to them. See, comparison is toxic to our souls. When we consistently compare ourselves to others, we miss what God wants to do in us as individuals. So my question is, how often do you spend comparing your life, your circumstances, to others? Not only do we deal with the fear of rejection that leads to comparison, we also deal with the fear of the unknown. I hate not knowing what's going to happen. If someone calls me and leaves a message, say, hey, Chris, I need to talk to you. I'm like, okay, I want to know right away. What do you want to talk about? What's going on? Or when my wife, when I can't get a hold of her, she has a cell phone, but there's this wife clause. They don't always answer their cell phone. Maybe half the time she doesn't. Or maybe it's dead and she's out and about running errands. In my mind, I'm like, okay, she's probably in a ditch. She's dead. I'm going to be a father, a single father of three kids. Does she have enough life insurance money? Am I going to have to move back to Oklahoma because I don't know if I can stay here all by myself and take care of these kids? We are all master storytellers, right? Like, we go to the worst possible scenario all the time. Can I get an amen, you know? Like, we do that because we do not like the unknown. But here the Israelites are, they are scared to death because they do not know what's going to happen. And because of this, they are paralyzed in fear. Maybe God has called you to plant a church. Maybe God has called you to go on one of our outreach trips, whether it's to North Africa or to Jericho or to the Amazon, and you are just paralyzed with fear because you don't know everything that takes place. Yeah, I got to raise money. I don't know how I'm going to do that. Or yeah, I'm called to be a missionary. I don't know how I'm going to raise money, how I'm going to do that. Or how about addiction or a different stronghold that you deal with or maybe some sort of sin. If I talk to this person, I'm vulnerable to my spouse. How are they going to react? Would they leave me? The unknown scares us, and because of that, it paralyzes us and we don't take action. This is what happened with the Israelites. Is it happening with you? Is the unknown affecting your soul? So what happens? The Israelites are here, paralyzed with fear. As the story goes on, there's a boy named David, the youngest of all his brothers. Shepherd was tending the sheep. He'd come to the battle and check on everyone, bring them food. He would go back. He'd go back. He's like, man, I can take on this giant. I got this guy named Goliath. I can do it. And so let's pick up in 1 Samuel 17, verse 31. It says this. Now, when the words which David spoke were heard, he's like, I can go take on Goliath. They reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. So Saul says, okay, David, come here. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go, and I will fight the Philistine. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. So Saul says, you're not good enough. How many times do we wake up saying, you know what, I'm not good enough. Maybe right now people are telling you, you can't do it. You're not good enough. You don't love Jesus enough. You've not worked hard enough. You're not educated enough. How often do we hear those lies from the enemy? Maybe no one specifically is telling that, but the enemy, through his demons, is just continually to taunt you. You're not good enough. You can't overcome this. There's no way that you can have victory in this area of your life. This is what Saul is saying to David, but this is what David says. Your servant, in verse 34, used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it, struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. That dude had some serious nunchuck skills. Your servant has killed both a lion and a bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied, made fun of, rejected the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me. Now hear this. The Lord, not himself, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of a lion and from the paw of a bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. David here knows that he has a promise from God. And we have a promise from God. A profound promise is our second point. We can see promises all throughout Scripture. If you have a giant you're dealing with right now, I want you to listen to some of these verses in the promises of God that he has through his word. Because if you open up these 66 books written by 40 different authors, Scripture is bathed in promises. and truth and life and in victory. And Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed." See, "Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, church. I will strengthen you when you're facing your giants. I will help you when you're facing your giants. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." I love Joshua chapter 1. Joshua becomes the leader of the Israelites. Moses had died. He becomes the leader. And he has to lead them into the promised land. And when he gets into the promised land, there's going to be a town, big city, a fortified city with fortified walls called Jericho. He's leading his people there. And this is what God says: "Be strong and courageous, for I am with you wherever you go." He says, "Be strong and courageous. Meditate," it says, "on God's word day and night, and I will be with you wherever you go." Jesus says in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who are heavy laden." Other translations say, "Come to me, all you who have lots of burdens, and I will give you rest." See, right now, you might be extremely fatigued from the giants that you deal with. Whatever they are, whether it's sin, whether it's a calling, whether it's a step of faith you need to take, and you are tired, Jesus says, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." That's why I'm so excited about the Own It 365 plan. When we spend time in God's word, we can find rest in him. See, not only do we see the promises of God through scripture, we see the promises of God through circumstances. David said, "Yes, I can go fight this Philistine because I've been delivered from the hand and the paw of a lion and a bear. And because God has delivered me there, he can deliver me here." But so often, we forget how God has come through in our lives. I was reading through the Bible this last year, and I'd find myself often frustrated with the Israelites because God came through, right? He delivered them out of slavery and captivity in Egypt through the 10 plagues, and he parted the Red Sea. Then he provided food while they're in the wilderness, and then he parts the Jordan River. They go, they defeat in the Battle of Jericho. God comes through over and over and over again, but then they forget it, and they complain, and they're like, "How can we do this?" But I was like, we're like that as well. How often do we forget how God has come through in our lives? We need to remember his faithfulness. There's a book that I picked up when I knew I was going to talk about reconciling your giants. It's called Goliath Must Fall by Louis Giglio. And he says this: "Why did David not feel terrorized by this giant?" He says, "Because David constantly fixed his focus on someone bigger than Goliath. That's why David wasn't afraid of him." See, we can fix our eyes on someone bigger than our giants, and that is God, his majestic name. He sits on high. He created the heavens and the earth. He created the stars, the galaxies. He created the mountains, the oceans, the beautiful lakes. He created the sunset. He created your kids. He created us with 5 fingers on this hand, 5 fingers on this hand, with 5 toes on this foot. He created our heart that pumps blood. He gave us our brains to think. He is the creator of the universe. He sits on his throne. And because of him, we can defeat our giants. When we worship the Lord, when we fix our eyes on him, it puts our giants in perspective. I love in Revelation 4, we get a picture of the throne room of heaven. It says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." When we worship the Lord, when we fix our eyes on him, he is so much bigger than any giant that any of us are dealing with. We can find peace and rest and promise in him. I have a friend named Jeremiah Beltran who goes to our church. And if you've talked to Jeremiah, "Hey, Jeremiah, how you doing?" He goes, "Glory. Hey, what'd you have for breakfast?" Glory. I mean, everything's glory to Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a heavyweight state champ wrestler in Kansas, was a Division I wrestler, a big guy. All right, he's like one eye, and like, the dude is, he's a bad man. If I was in a dark alley, I'd want him by my side. Because he would win, I promise. Jeremiah is awesome. And I said, and Jeremiah feels called to take he and his wife and 4 kids to some of the most unreached places in the world. To start churches and to share the gospel and disciple people that need hope. I looked at Jeremiah and said, dude, are you crazy? You got a wife and four kids. You're going to sell your house, you're going to go be trained, and you're going to go take the word of God to people who get killed every day for their faith? He said, yeah, man. God has come through in my life over and over and over again. I was a lost. He saved my soul. I've experienced dark times, and I have found hope. God has come through, and God will come through for you. And I was convicted. Instead of us living in a paralyzed fear of the unknown, why don't we see how God has been faithful and walk in victory? We can live life like we're winning. So here's David says, I can take on this giant. Let's pick up in verse 38. So, okay, we have giants in our lives, right? And how are we going to attack them? Are we going to attack them the world's way or God's way? Are we going to attack them the way the world perceives that we should attack our giants? Or are we going to attack them the way that God has uniquely gifted us to tackle our giants? Let's pick up in verse 38. So Saul clothed David with his armor. So Saul was a head taller than everyone. He was strong and with wisdom and stature. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor, and then he tried to walk. Okay, could you imagine this young boy put on this armor trying to walk, you know, just like this? And so he tested it. And this is what David said. I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. See, you would have thought that if you're going to go fight a Philistine, if you're going to go fight our giants, then we need to put on this shiny armor. And the shiny armor for us today is this, is to be stronger, to be richer, to be more powerful, to be more educated. You know, kind of like the Johnson County facade, like everything's okay on the outside. But really deep down, people are struggling and hurting. We think that, okay, if everything on the outside looks good, if we pursue what the world says is successful, that's what's going to help us on our journey. But that is a lie from the enemy. See, God wants to use you, how he's uniquely qualified you in your giftedness. If you have a giant in your life to pursue a new career, there's a stronghold, or you're dealing with fear, anxiety, don't pursue what the world says. Let's pursue what God calls us to do. And that is to allow God to use us the way he wants to use us. So how does God use David? Verse 40. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Crazy thing is, I just imagine what everyone thought. Okay, here's this little boy, no armor, just has the stones and a sling, and he's going to go face this giant? But see, God had uniquely qualified him as his time as a shepherd to do that. But I don't even think it was how good David was with the sling. It was that God said, I'm going to use you in this way. And when we allow God to use us in the way that he wants to use us, it's not us who gets the glory, it's God who gets the glory. And it's so countercultural, because we want to be successful. We want people to see how good we are. But I think the heart of God here is, let's to get out of the way, let him use us to equip us the way he wants to, so he can be glorified. He has a personal path for all of us. And it's going to look different for all of us. And if we compare ourselves, as I mentioned earlier, it's going to hinder us. As opposed to saying, God, use me the way you have gifted me. Okay, let's read on, verse 48. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David. And David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. So here's David, right? He's back here. Here's a giant in front of us. All of us have giants in front of us facing us this new year. He did not stay there, paralyzed with fear. He said, God has delivered me. God is faithful. So I'm going to run straight into the mess. I'm going to run straight into this battle. I'm going to run straight to this giant because I know God is going to come through. And so, church, I think that all of us, if you're with us at the Olathe campus, in the venue, online, here in the auditorium, Overland Park campus, I will tell you this, that you can run straight into the battle knowing that God will equip you, resource you, and empower you to take on the giant. Verse 49, then David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran, stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of a sheath, and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted. Here they come. Now they're confident, right? And yeah, this little dude just like destroyed this giant, you know, and then, oh, okay, yeah! And pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley into the gates of Ekron. There was a powerful victory. Last point today is that we can experience a powerful victory. And I want to challenge us to look at this story a little different today. Because I said many of us have heard the story multiple times, and we see ourselves as the underdog. We see ourselves as David. That we need God to give us our sling and our stones, and all that is great. But I want to encourage us to look at this a little different. If we're going to experience a powerful victory in our lives, we got to stop looking at how we can do it, and we got to view David and put Jesus in place of David and allow Jesus to go attack our giants, to allow Jesus to help us face our giants. Because guess what? Jesus came, he left heaven, he came, lived a perfect sinless life, came and rescued us. He slayed the giant of sin. He slayed the giant of the devil. He was crucified on a tree. 3 days later, he conquered sin and death, beat the giant once and for all, rose from the grave, and was victorious. Jesus is our David. Jesus is the one that's going to help us find victory. It's not what you offer. It's not what you can do. It's what Jesus did. This is the gospel. It's more of him. It's less of us. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. It's a gift. It's what Jesus did. It's not what you did. It's not how strong or how good you are. It's how powerful Jesus is. As we approach our giants in 2018, you can set goals, which are great. You can have resolutions, which are good. But what if we just said, you know what? We're just going to lean into Jesus and be shaped more in his image and allow his spirit to permeate my life and to allow Jesus to fight for us. Because I can't do this on my own. There is victory when it comes to Jesus. I want you to close your eyes. And I want to read something to you. Close your eyes and open your hands like you're receiving a gift if you feel comfortable. And I want to read a little prayer from the Book of Common Prayer. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you. And wherever he may send you, may he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. If you have questions or would like to contact us for prayer, please email us at info@visitgracechurch.com. For more information about our ministries, location, and service times, go to visitgracechurch.com.